Good morning, and God bless you this morning. This is Brother Steve again with the Fountain of Life, daily inspiration for the 28th. In the last message, we looked at John the Baptist and the Old Testament prophecies that prophesied of John the Baptist. For this message, we are going to look at the New Testament and see what the New Testament prophecies of John and what he was going to be or the ministry he was going to have. And first of all, starting off with the angel appearing to Zacharias as he ministered in the temple, Luke chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." One of the things that I noticed as I looked through these verses and the other verses I'm going to read is that there's a lot of joy and rejoicing in this birth of John the Baptist. And if we look at the historical context, we can understand a little bit why. Here we are in the, around the birth of Jesus, and it was about 500 something BC that Babylonian exile took place, where the children of Israel were taken to Babylon. I think that was, I don't have the dates exactly there, I didn't look all of those things up, but somewhere I think 500 something BC. And then it would have been about something around a couple hundred years there where they were under the Persian rule. But anyway, then probably around 400 something BC, don't know the exact dates, would have been when Malachi would have prophesied, and that would have been the last prophet for about 400 years. And in that time, the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel, was fought over, and was, under one rule. Then it was under the Persian rule for a while, and then it was I guess it was for a couple hundred years under the Persian rule, then under Alexander the Great until he died, and then the kingdom was split, and then they were under, they were under Persian rule again, or I'd have to look some of those things up. But anyway, there was another one in between that was very oppressive to the Jews, and then there was... they had some liberty for a while, and then there was, at the time that this all took place, they were under Roman rule. So the Jews were really being oppressed during that time. And a lot of them probably very discouraged and just the way things were. And so here comes this prophecy of this, finally, God is speaking to them again and speaking of this man that's going to come, child that's going to be born. It says, "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." And it says in verse 15, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." And we also see, if we go back to some of what Jesus had to say about John the Baptist, we will find that in Matthew, we're going to look at that some more later, but he talks about John the Baptist being the greatest of the prophets. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But anyway, it says here that he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Then there's also Luke chapter 39, Luke chapter 1, verse 39 and following there, where it talks about Mary after the angel told her of the child she was going to have, and then she goes to visit her friend Elizabeth, who was also expecting a child, who was expecting John, and then we have there where John leaped for joy in his mother's womb when he heard the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So there was things happening there, and there was great joy among the Jews who were involved in that or knew about that. And then we have the words of Mary after Elizabeth told her that the baby leaped in her womb. And then Mary says, and I read this yesterday, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. He goes through the whole thing about he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall be called me blessed. And further on it says, he hath shewed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of his heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. And he hath filled the hungry with good things, and rich he hath sent empty away. And he hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And so there you have, you know, just some wonderful news for the children of Israel, for the nation of Israel. There's great rejoicing. Then we have in Luke chapter, or actually still Luke chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 and the following. The context here is where the child was born, John was born, and the neighbors came and friends to on the eighth day to circumcise him and to give him a name. And everybody wanted to call him Zacharias after his father. But Elizabeth says, no, he should be called John. And so they ask Zacharias, and he gets a piece of paper, and he writes down John, and then he starts to speak. As you remember, probably, Zacharias, when he didn't believe the angel in the temple when the angel came to him, the angel said that he's going to be dumb, he's not going to be able to speak until all these things take place. And so now here, Zacharias had, from the time of the conception of this child until now, Zacharias could not speak. And then here his mouth was opened again, and he wrote down on a piece of paper, his name shall be John, and then he began to speak and to prophesy. This blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now that word, serve him without fear, now that's something that maybe we in America have a little harder time grasping what the reality of that would have meant for them. You know, there's people in other countries that would know exactly what they were talking about, and here, you know, they had been under oppression by other countries, other rulers for so long, and under constant fear of you know, what the Romans would do or whatever. Testament here, there was this promise that they would be delivered of the hand of their enemies and serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. There again, he is called a prophet to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, was in the desert till the day of his shewing unto Israel. But again, you know, if we can just put ourselves in the context of where they were at that time, the historical context, and what was taking place politically and historically, and all those things, and then read those verses in that light, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What wonderful promises that would have been for them at that time. And of course, they didn't realize what that all meant or how that would all look, and it ended up not looking anywhere nearly what they thought it would look like. But today, we can enter into that light that shone, and that peace that comes. That's where we're going to end for this time, and we will come back with some more in the next message. God bless you.